This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, thank you, worship team. Just appreciate you leading us this morning. A couple of great hymns put to some new music. It's good. Enjoyed that. So 2 plus 2 equals 2, and just under two decades means 24 years. I'll see. I'm looking for a new job. If anybody has any leads, let me know. The first thing that I did, one of the first things that I did when I started here, and I didn't even know that I did that, is kick Dr. Jones out of his office over Memorial. Marshall Davis's office right now was Dr. Jones's office. He was starting the youth ministry program, and I was hired and came in as the, they called it Dean of Men back then, and I come to find out that got to kick him out of his office. So I've been struggling ever since. So, before I get started, I want to talk about what's coming up. Next week is our Evangelical Unity Week. And what in the world is that? Well, evangelical unity is how we come and live together. How do we live out this faith and this life together? And we realize that there's lots of issues. One of your faculty talked to me over the summer. He read an article and talked about different issues that students face. And so we kind of took that, and then I've asked several faculty to speak on different topics. And so we're having this series, the SLAMMED series. And so what does that stand for? We're not going to go through the letters in order, but it's sexuality, loneliness, addictions, mental health, doubt, and debt. And so you can see the lineup there. Dr. Burns is going to start it off next Monday. Just looking at the question, is Christ enough? All of these things are incredibly overwhelming. And so he's going to answer the question and help you think and meditate on, is Christ enough? Tuesday is a prayer day, so in the morning, Dr. Caudill is going to talk about loneliness. And in the afternoon, I believe it's Dr. McKechnie and Dr. Powell are going to talk about depression, and they're going to have kind of an interview there, and we're going to have some prayer intermingled with that. On Wednesday, April Fool's Day, being no fool, Dr. Gentry will talk to you about doubt. And then on Thursday, Amy Du Bois in the Business Organizational Leadership Program, she's going to talk about debt. And then after the chapel, there will be kind of a follow-up time over in Reichert at lunch to continue that discussion about debt, because that's a huge, huge issue and can lead to lots of other issues. And then we'll come back and then wrap it up on the first 3 days of the following week after we come back from Easter. On that Monday, Dr. Farah is going to talk about addictions. On Tuesday, Dr. Bolte in the grad counseling program is going to talk about mental health and some aspects of that. And then we'll wrap it up on Wednesday. Dr. Dixon is going to give us just kind of a theology of sexuality. There's so much that's going on out there, so much being twisted about what Scripture says and about sexuality and all of that. And so he's going to do that. That is a ton of stuff in a few days, and we are obviously not going to answer all the questions and resolve every issue. But hopefully it starts some conversations and gets you talking with one another, looking for others, seeking help, getting insight, and then for yourself, just digging into God's Word and bringing those things before Him. So today, it's kind of a lead-in. It wasn't designed that way. This was supposed to be a chapel a month or so ago, but it kind of fits in. We feel slammed sometimes. Things get heavy on us. So what I want us to do, just kind of in your mind, I want you to make a list. And here's what the list is comprised of. Things that we're tired of. So I made my list, and you can just kind of echo along with that. Just think of your own list, and we'll see where we go with this. So here's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of students complaining. That's it. That's the only thing I'm tired of. How about you guys? Now I need to put my glasses on. I'm tired of faculty and staff complaining. I'm tired of me complaining. Let's pray, we'll be dismissed. I'm tired of students leaving plates of food from the cafeteria last night, and I come in the student center and I see it in the morning, and I feel sorry for the physical plant folks that go to clean up after you guys. And I tell them, Here's what you can do. Pray for the students that they'll have children just like them. Continuing on in this great theme, I'm tired of students trashing ping pong paddles, pool sticks, and the ping pong table.
Amen.
Okay. Not supposed to amen that part. I'm tired of my head cold. 2 weeks. I'm tired of my dissertation. I'm really tired of my dissertation. I'm tired of paying bills. I'm tired of the student center furniture. I'm tired of the student center, period. I'm tired of Hollywood putting out trash like 50 Shades of Grey. Tired of us paying to watch it, buy into junk like that. Tired of seeing fellow Christians do things that are so frustrating. And I'm sure that there's people are saying, hey, that's funny. I put you on my list too. I'm tired of terrorism. Tired of it, that word. Yeah, I'm tired of it being so easy to gain weight and so hard to lose it. I've calculated how far I have to pedal on my bike to get rid of an Oreo. etc. The list goes on. We are incredibly gifted at lists like this. We come up with them so easy, things that we're tired of. So what can we do? Well, we could go off grid. My wife got me a subscription. No, she didn't really. You know, I'd go up in Irmo, dig me some tunnels, buy me 10 years of ramen noodles and hide and crawl underground. I watched this show, and this actually is really a temptation, buying Alaska to eat grizzly bear, moose, and salmon for the rest of my life and not have any internet service doesn't look so bad sometimes. But if you go in my office, if you look above my monitor, you'll see some incredible artwork that one of my children, who shall remain nameless, but she's sitting right back there. They had three kids. They'd come down from Ben Lippin, and they'd have to wait for Dad to get off work, and I'd take them home. And sometimes they would commandeer my chair, and they'd start doodling on all the Post-it notes. And so I come back, and these Post-it notes are there. And so it actually is a great lead-in to the message here. So the first one says, are you a Sunny Sammy? Next to it says, or are you a Rainy Janie? So as you make your list, are you a Sunny Sammy or are you a Rainy Janie? Well, Dr. Jones on Tuesday, besides math that he taught us, he talked about these three things and he just explained the contest. And Dr. Jones, as much as you deserve to win all three of those, and I deserve to get the three nomination gift certificates, these three things, when he talked about sometimes it takes a team. You know, God's designed the body of Christ. He's put us together for a reason, to help us overcome. Sometimes the things are inside, but he gives us the body of Christ because that's the way he wants us to break out of ourselves. And so these three things, while they fit in our triangle, and that's things that we talk about and things that we strive after, attitude matters, relationships matters, excellence matters. He did not come up with that. So our scripture I want us to look at is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Peter, writing to Christians up in that northern part of Asia, just northern Turkey, up in that area of Asia Minor. These people feel like exiles. They feel like they're out there because there's so many people that live around them that are persecuting them, coming down on them, and life is just hard. They could make their I'm tired of list as well. So Peter's writing to them, and Peter has honestly gone through chapter 1 and chapter 2 talking about how you need to respond, be subject to, you know, all these things that he gives where you've got to do this, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and it's all about this submission, submission, submission. He starts off chapter 3, he hits the wives. And he goes after the wives and tells them they need to submit to their husbands. And then he comes and he says, likewise, husbands. And he gets the guys. And then he shifts and he says this, and he says, finally, even though it's just a little over halfway through the book, he says, finally, like a lot of pastors do, one more point and then we'll close. But Peter says, finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. And reviling is just that nasty talk that goes on. But on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called. And he continues, and we'll come back to a little bit of that lately, but he has this here. And so the first part, that first paragraph that I have up there, is kind of to each other, to Christians. This is the way that I want you to interact with each other. And then to those that are out to get you, to those that seem to be against you all the time, how do you need to respond? And that's where this don't repay evil for evil, don't speak back when they speak evil, just get away from all of that nyeh-nyeh stuff. It's funny, if you look over in Romans, Paul writes this in Romans 12. I don't have it on the overhead, but he says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. There's great parallel there. Two different guys writing to two different groups of people, but saying the same things. Folks, this is how we need to live. And so I have this big to-do list, or to-do list. I have one of those too. But I have this list of things that I'm tired of. I can't live in the middle of those things. One of the bad things about me and my personality is I wear my emotions on my sleeves. It's pretty easy to see me and know how I feel. I don't hide anything. I don't try to hide anything. I'm pretty open. But that gets me questions sometimes. Others of you are very, very skillful of putting on a mask. And so Peter asks us to take the mask off and live life out loud with each other. So all I want to do is I want to go through verse 8 right there. And I want Scripture to speak to Scripture. I'll make a few comments, but mainly I'm just going to read Scripture. And I want you to understand that this is not optional. For me, it's not optional. And, you know, we've been a group, we've been memorizing 1 Peter, and I got hit with this. I spoke on it over at Kirkland to the guys there, and man, did we have a conversation after that. And they taught me so many things and just challenged me. And I want that to happen here as well, that we would just challenge each other and be the body of Christ that we should be. So the first one, unity of mind, harmony, just having this together. That verse in Malachi. Malachi is speaking to the priests and he's really chewing them out for all this stuff. And he says, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Then why are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? You know, he's pointing out the implication of disunity. It's profaning the Lord. People look at you and they're making a mockery of God at the way that you're operating together. And so that challenge for unity that's there. You know, I've been living in 1 Peter, and here he says, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then it says this, for once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter's pointing out, do you realize what you have now? You were out there. You didn't have it, but now you have identity. We have an identity in Christ. It's ours personally, but it's ours collectively. We've got to live that out together. Romans 15, 5 and 6. I memorized this in another version. It says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement grant you a spirit of unity amongst yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and voice, you can glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a collective you. Our unity, our living together, that harmony that we have sends the glory to God. And that's what we want to do. And then John 17, this, like the most passionate part of the Bible, where Jesus is before the Father in the garden, praying on our behalf, praying, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. What an incredible prayer that God is praying for you and me, that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one. And it says in there that he's given us that glory. What is that glory? It's that part of his divine nature. When we accept Christ, we become an eternal being owned by God, always with him. We have that seal of the Holy Spirit that's our inheritance. And so he's given us that divine nature within ourselves that draws us together, that makes us different. It allows us to accomplish the work that God has called us to do. So this picture of living in harmony and unity together, oh, it's so easy to think about and what it would look like and sing songs about. Imagine all the people living in harmony. But yeah, easy to do that, but with no foundation and no resource, you can't do that. But we've got what we need, so we need to do it. I need to do it. Sympathy is next. Sympathy is this gut-wrenching feeling that moves us towards action, towards somebody else. It may be a physical action. It may just be, the only thing I know how to do is to pray for you. That's not a bad thing to do if that's what you truly go back and do. And so to pray for one another, that deep feeling that's there. And so in Judges here, whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groanings because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. You know, it's interesting to think about this verse, because why are there judges there? Well, God is judging the people. The nation of Israel is being judged, but he raises up judges to deliver them. And I think the idea is, yo, I'm looking out for you people. Turn to me, follow me, stick with me. But they turn away again, more persecution, another judge gets raised up. But what's going on? We see God, and sometimes we feel God is so distant, but God sees what's going on, and it says, I hear you. He's tuned in. Are you tuned in? Do you know what's happening to the person you're sitting next to in your class, to the people in your hall, to those on your team, to your colleagues in your office, to the people that you pass all the time on the sidewalk? Are you tuned in to them? God was tuned in and pulling for them. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That compassion, his guts were in a knot because he cared for the people so deeply. Mark 1:41, and the leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will. Be clean. What a statement. Jesus could look at him and say, I will. The power that he had. He left, but he told us when he left, he was going to give us another comforter, someone that would empower us. We have the power to do that. Brotherly love. You know, Matthew 24:12 talks about, because of increased lawlessness, love will be hard to come by. It says love will grow cold. But we've got to exemplify better than that. Leviticus 19:34, you shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. It's a nice little phrase to be able to stick on the end there. You know, the only thing I can relate to is, I want you to go upstairs and clean your room. Why? Because I am Rick Swift, your father. You know, I can do that. God says you need to be there and look out and love your brothers. Why? Well, how about that I'm God? Okay, works for me. Proverbs 17 there at the bottom of that one. A friend loves at all time and a brother is born for adversity. Again, that idea of being tuned in. What's the challenge? A friend is close, but a brother is born for adversity. The tough stuff. Matthew 22. Teacher, what's the great commandment? You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first commandment. What's the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments depend on these commandments depend all the law and the prophets. 1 Peter 4, you know, I'm living in 1 Peter. Above all, keep loving one another because love covers a multitude of sins. A tender heart, this long passage. The Pharisees trying to trap Jesus. They have this woman that was caught in adultery and they're ready to stone her because that's what the law says. Don't you agree, Jesus? And he's doodling in the sand and he says, those of you that are without sin cast the first stone and they scatter. And then he goes up to the woman and he says, where's everybody gone? Everybody that was accusing you, where have they gone? They've left. No one's here, Lord. What an opportunity to say, you know, I come from the Father. I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm pure. You've got to stop the behavior that you're doing. Do you realize how wrong that is? Take care of yourself. He doesn't do that. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go from now on and sin no more. Sometimes we're guilty of someone has trouble and they need someone to care for them and we preach to them. Can we have tenderness? Jesus left her with a pretty big sermon, go and sin no more. She probably was taken with this guy. Who is this person? Maybe she knew about him, maybe she didn't. I guarantee she learned after that. Tender heart. And the last one, a humble mind. Micah 6:8, we know that one. He's told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To love justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. Three simple phrases, one lifetime of challenge to live those out. Romans 12:3, for by the grace given to me, I say everyone among you to not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Get off the worldly assessment, get into the godly assessment of yourself. That'll teach humility pretty quick. When we start coming before the Lord and His Scripture, humility comes along pretty quick. James 3:13, who's wise and understanding amongst you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. It's funny how our humility can be proven or betrayed by our actions. Usually betrayed by our words, and proven by our deeds. So, what do we do with all of this? All these scriptures, all these challenges. Back to Peter's passage, he says, he follows up this section. He actually says at the end there, for this you've been called, that you may receive a blessing. And then he quotes from Psalm 34. He says, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lip from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I don't want to live with my list in front of me. So what can I do? Well, I can keep on making my lists and let that govern me. Or I can abide, abide, abide. For apart from me, speaking of Christ there, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. I would encourage you to go back and listen to this message. Pastor Womack, when he came, talked about taking care of the minister. He went through several passages in John, but he talked about abiding, 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 staying in God. That's what I have to do. You know, I do hear a lot of complaints. That's the nature of the territory. I can't live there. God has given me a job, a ministry that's here, But if I live under the complaints and the stuff that's going on that I don't like and it's just hard, I'll be lousy at ministering. But you guys do a great job of pointing me in the right direction. I have colleagues, the student life team that I work with, I could not do the job that I do without them. We have a staff meeting right after this. We'll pray for each other. We'll laugh. We'll be silly. We'll tease one another. But it's kind of our way of just pouring back into each other and being there for one another. I could not do my job without them. So I encourage you to go to this link and hear Pastor Womack as well, sharing about abiding, abiding, abiding. So are you a sunny Sammy? Or are you a rainy Janie? Well, as Katie told us, can you see that in the top corner right there? Be a sunny Sammy, not a rainy Janie. Take God at his word. Live by the power that he's given you. Grow in his spirit. Live in harmony. Have sympathy for one another. Let's exhibit brotherly love. Let your judgmental heart be captured by a tender heart. And then let's have humility of mind, that we can honor the Lord, that we can be there for one another, and we can all be sunny Sammies. Thank you, Katie. Let's pray together. Father, you've given us your word, and it has challenged us. But for me, years and years and years of seeing those post-it notes and thinking about this passage and seeing those notes, all of a sudden just made the scripture jump off the page and smack me right upside the head. How many times do I walk around this campus? How many times do I sit in my chair in my office as a rainy Janie? Lord, you've called us to live as sunny Sammies, and as corny as that sounds, you've designed us and gifted us to pour into one another, that by our unity the world would see us and know that you are who you say you are. So, Lord, help us to live by the truth of your word, the power of your word, and to show the world that we're different and leave them incredibly curious of what we have in us. And, Lord, help us to be ready to always give a reason for the hope that's in us. Help us to do it with humility, with respect, loving others as you have loved them. Thank you for loving us first. None of this would be possible, even dreamable, without you first moving on our behalf. Lord, as Dr. Jones shared about him coming to Christ 41 years ago and the way that that captures his heart, may we be captured by you with that same gratitude. And may we express that by the way that we live for one another. Thank you, Lord, for the joy you've given us to live this life. We love you. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.